Hey there. Welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
And I'm Judy Nathans.
And today is August 17th.
Oh my goodness.
Year of our Lord, 2021.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So this is like one of our midsummer editions.
Yeah. Well, we're more mid. Yeah, we've been right. It is.
All right. And I think one thing, I'm going to actually start off tonight here just saying a few things about baseball.
Okay? Oh, I do too. What you're going to say, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, first acknowledge the Red Sox blew the game against the Yankees this afternoon.
I tuned in when someone got a home run, and then I tuned it out because I wanted to go out for a walk. It was 3-2. Yeah, and now they lost by 5-3, right?
Apparently, they had bases loaded, nobody out, top of the seventh.
Oh no!
It's a two games today, so it's only
seven
innings.
Seven. Yeah.
And then they struck out three times in a row.
Oh my goodness!
And then the Yankees came in one. So, what can you say, right?
I'm not happy with the Reds.
All right,
Go ahead.
All right, but three things to say about baseball. First off, I gotta say that the return of Sale.
Yep.
Chris, the thing of
all
beauty.
Right.
You know, for every Red Sox fan who's been starting to get a little desperate, it just kind of sent a really great message. And he pitched well. They really backed him up with 16 runs, I think. It was great.
Okay. I attribute that to the humidity. A lot of teams, for the 2 days of humid, a lot of teams got 20 runs, eight. I think it's humidity.
Yeah, it's all humidity, right? At least 14 of those 16 runs are due to humidity.
Did I read he gets his contract $145 million?
I don't really know. I don't know. It's somebody else's money. Right. It's not my money.
We'll move on. Sale.
Now, second baseball item, really third now, I think, I watched the Field of Dreams game.
I wanted to, and I missed it, and I'm so sorry that I missed it. It sounded so beautiful.
It was great.
I saw
it was great. And I have to say, particular credit to the people who were orchestrating the drone footage, because they were, you could tell they were, because they had to rebuild a separate field to have some capacity for this one, just down this road from the original.
Do you know what the capacity was? I never
it wasn't a lot, but you know, they needed to have more than the handful in the stands on the movie,
right?
And they also had to put in big light standards and really make it work. But it was great because in a lot of ways, not only the players emerging out of the
cornfield, and it was the White Sox
and the Yankees, and the Yankees, of course. But also they had the drones going up there, and you could see they were actually kind of doing everything they could to recreate that closing scene from Field of Dreams with when the night fell, where you could sort of see the road in the distance. You didn't see the huge line of cars.
But I have to watch that again.
Headlights on it. And they were trying to get the angles just perfect. I thought they did a great job trying to.
I guess I could try to catch that somewhere. That must be on a video somewhere. I'm so sorry, because I did see the clips of it, and it was also very exciting. The ninth inning, the Yankees lost it to the White Sox. They got three runs.
It was a real game. It was a real game. It was actually
are they going to use this field again? It seems so delightful.
I mean, I hope they use it for a lot of other things, but they built it special, and it'll be they hope to do this as an annual event.
That was such a positive thing.
Yeah, it was a great thing. Now, the third or fourth baseball thing, I must say,
is
something I always look forward to every year. But of course, last year was sort of a different year. Is the old time baseball game that Steve Buckley and company put together up in St. Peter's Field. And I only found out a day or two ago, because I think maybe Buck only just decided a few days ago.
Yeah, I saw it in your calendar.
That it's scheduled for this coming Monday at St. Peter's Field.
Yeah, I'll be missing it. I won't be here, but that's all
right. After missing a year. Yeah, honestly, it's not just watching a ball game. It's just, just basically running into everybody and just having a good time up there. And hopefully the play-by-play will again be done by Glenn Kuchar, the originator of the original Cambridge Inside Out. So
there'll probably be a lot of how they're going to manage crowds, even though it's outside. You're still I don't know. Yeah, I would. I would have to be really.
Well, I mean, for the most part, people spread themselves out. They really kind of just sit off in the wings. You know, they're not.
They do, but it can attract a lot of people, especially since this has been gone.
Yeah, but for the most part, people are not really crowding together as they do this. But so, you know, I think it could self manage reasonably well. I'm just happy to see it. To me, it's sort of another
sign of that.
One day we shall be back to normal. One day, perhaps.
Well, I don't know anymore. Now they're saying that we're all going to need boosters probably in 8 months from the time of your last shot. I'm saying, oh my God, how are they going to manage that? You know, who's going to get it when? The world, there's countries that have 2% vaccinations. I'm sorry, they need to get vaccinated. No one's safe till everyone gets vaccinated at least once, right?
No question about it. And you know, and I have to say, today's numbers for COVID in Cambridge.
Oh yeah, do you have a list?
Best.
Okay, do you have your chart there?
We'll take a quick look here. Today it actually jumped by another 26.
All right, but wait, explain what we're looking at here.
All right, so. You know,
where again, is today? Oh my God, that's a big jump, Robert.
So just it was an increase of 27 from yesterday.
That's not good.
It was like 26, 7, 8, you know, but then it jumped up again. But it's a little uneven day to day to day. So you really have to look at 7 day averages. But if you look at the seven day averages, it's now riding up around 14. It was down around close to 3 for a good while. And it's, you know, we have this nice little delta bump. It's not skyrocketing thanks to the vaccinations, but it's kind of hovering up there.
It's like half of what it was before vaccinations. Definitely more.
I mean, at the peak in the winter, it actually was jumping up as high as about 40 per day.
Wow.
So now we're between 10 and 15. So this is of a different scale. But it is, you know, for those of us who are desperately wanting the whole damn thing to go away, we're not getting that little blessing.
Do you know if Harvard and or MIT have issued any guidelines around masks?
I haven't been following
closely. Like requirements, because some universities across the country have.
I'm sort of blotting MIT out of my mind these days, but it. Yeah. Harvard is, it's the regular Harvard College is students will be there in person.
Yeah.
Vaccinations required, frequent testing required.
Wait, vaccination is required.
Yes.
Proof of vaccination. I guess that's what I meant. Never mind the mask.
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. In terms of
masking guidance, I don't really know what the story is.
No, but I think the more important thing is the vaccination requirement.
Yeah. Now I'm teaching Harvard Extension School classes
Are those going to be in person?
No, they're not. I was really looking forward to getting back in the lecture hall and actually meeting with the students in person. And as I like to say to people, it's actually a great joy, the fact that I can be simultaneously having students in Australia and Germany and in Queens, New York and Lexington, Massachusetts.
So you should look at it that way. That's a very positive thing.
No, it's great.
Plus, the poll they said it's going to be really questionable. So you have to keep yourself safe too.
Right. So, but I was kind of hoping there'd be some kind of a hybrid arrangement where I could at least every week go someplace and meet a few students in person. But, you know,
when does that start? When does that start?
For me, it's September 1st.
Oh, that's soon.
Yeah, I'll be teaching Wednesday night, two different courses.
Before Labor Day.
Yeah, so teaching differential equations on Wednesday nights and multivariable calculus on Thursday nights.
Oh my God, multivariable calculus.
Yeah, yeah. No,
You're a smart guy there, Robert.
Just doing my job. Actually, speaking of mathy type stuff, I'll just sort of throw here parenthetically that, you know, because since not long ago, we talked a little bit about the New York City ranked choice voting mayoral Democratic primary and all.
Yeah.
So I got wind today of the fact that for those of you who wanted to get access to their ballot data, you just had to send a request. So I've now made a formal request to New York City's Board of Elections
to get the
ballot
data
so that I can start analyzing it. And actually, I'm going to want to also just run it through the Cambridge tabulation software.
Interesting.
Which is just another hardcore test of this tabulation software. If it reproduces the results, great. If not, then it'll teach me something.
And,
you know, so anyway, I'm looking forward to that just to kind of have a little fun.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
What you define as fun is really amazing, but that's good.
Yeah, we're geeky kind of guys, you know.
Yeah, it's great. I'm so glad we have you around, really.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see. So there was, I did watch that meeting that you sent me the link to, the one that was the only meeting, I think, of any relevance last week, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, and I think it was very much in the news, and I think we spoke about it earlier this month when we did the last show.
The violence.
That there has been an uptick in violence, specifically gun violence, most notably concentrated in places like the port neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people have expressed great concern about it, as well they should.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, and let's not diminish in any way the fact that there was also a fatal shooting up in North Cambridge not so long ago as well. So it's a matter of tremendous concern to many, many, many people. So, you know, as is typical what usually has happened in past years when we were facing a summer of this, either, you know, as we're heading into summer or during the summer, you could pretty much count on somebody like Denise Simmons convening town meetings and things for this and whatever, which I think were usually pretty good because they really got to the heart of the matter. But ultimately, it's not the political people who provide solutions to these, but they at least get other people energized to take action in appropriate ways. But it's been interesting. So one thing that happened, and you were speaking about this meeting, which happened, I believe, on August 10th.
August 10th, yeah.
Yeah, it was a joint meeting of the Civic Unity
and the Human Services.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I have to point out, which is that even though we're talking about gun violence, which is, you know, and what to do about gun violence, in normal times, this would be a joint committee, not of Civic Unity and Human Services, but probably public safety.
True.
But we have some incredibly divergent views right now as part of the body politic.
Wait, well, do we have a public safety committee?
Yes, we do. And it's chaired by Councilor Zondervan.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
I don't think it's a coincidence that this meeting was convened by Councilor Simmons from the Civic Unity Committee and Councilor McGovern from the Human Services. And
I mean, he was there as a non-member, but you're right. Do you think that was an...
It's really a matter of controlling the agenda. And I think it was done very, very deliberately. And, you know, and I completely agree with the reason.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to explain it.
No.
Right. But, the at a time when people are worried about their personal safety and the safety of their children, I don't think it's a time people
talk
want
about
to
police.
Get into and just get into a big political.
Right. Let's get rid of our guns
stuff.
And rifles and assault. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been regardless how I feel about people politically, I have to say Denise Simmons is usually spot on about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Mark McGovern is usually pretty spot on as well.
Yeah,
you know, they seem to kind of understand things from a ears to the ground, get to know the people kind of way. It's not theoretical. It's it's very direct and very personal. When you speak with people in the Cambridge Police Department, and I had an opportunity to speak with quite a few of them at the Port Pride event this week.
Yeah,
they get it really well. They know this, and I think they have a lot of understanding about what's really going on, some of the rivalries going on between kids from Cambridge and Somerville, some of the families involved and whatever. So I'm actually pretty confident that they're moving in the best possible direction.
Right, and I think it's interesting that the Public Safety Task Force, which McGovern and Simmons were kind of tasked with, was totally dismissed by some of the counselors. And it's like, all we can hear is the Hart proposal. And it should be looking at both, you know, but that to me is really.
Right. Until the politics of alternate policing kind of got thrust before them, it was pretty clear that things were heading toward a way where the Cambridge Police Department, with the blessing and approval of the commissioner, were embracing alternate police models and just trying to find out what best one.
Right.
And then it got turned into a political football.
It's horrible. And also,
it didn't have to be.
In a way that is just, you know, follow this to the as exactly as written. It was like the demands made by a group of people that there were some good things in it, but the way it was the demands on the city to do this and pay for this and do that, it just put me off. And I'm sorry, but the community doesn't know about all of this. Okay?
That's right. Yeah.
And
so so you know the police officers with whom I was speaking on this weekend.
Yeah.
On Saturday, mm-hmm. All of them have lived their whole lives in Cambridge. They kind of get it. They kind of know everybody. It's really kind of stunning when you speak with police officers where you can't, if you're actually talking with them, almost any person walking by or any car coming by waves and say, hey, how you doing? You think like they know everybody. Mm. It's actually quite incredible to see.
But they may not know the young kids. They may know the parents or some of the, you know.
Actually, some of them know the kids. Yeah. And okay, so then, they know the brothers and sisters of the kids and a lot of the families and whatever. So I think, you know, what people need, so people don't get unnecessarily worried about these things.
Yeah.
I mean, these are still, even though the frequency of some of these gun, events involving guns were all clustered together.
And it says, also, it was, 11 shootings since January is what Christine
But for the most part, they were in similar geographic locations,
right?
Which if you happen to be living there, it's got to be incredibly horrifying.
Horrible, right, yeah.
But it also suggests that there's some of the same players are involved in here. So I'm hopeful.
And also in that meeting, it was good to hear from Christine Elo, who's a deputy superintendent. I don't know.
I have such respect for Superintendent Elo.
She grew up here.
Beyond measure.
Yeah. Let's hope she maybe is in the running for you.
If I was city manager, she'd be the commissioner in waiting, but that's me, right?
Yeah, well.
But I'll say something else about that committee meeting, though, which is, you know, I think it's undeniably true that creating pathways for young kids toward jobs and various things are all really good things, and we should definitely be doing everything we can in that path. But I have to say that some of the elected officials just seem thoroughly tone deaf. When you actually have a situation where there's a real public safety, you know, a fearful situation, and the best some of the counselors can do is say, well, what can we throw money at? You know, they think that somehow the problem has everything to do with money or lack of programs or whatever. And I don't think anybody's denying the fact that, you know, creating good programs and pathways and job opportunities.
And paying people enough to do it. But Ellen Semenoff addressed that, I thought.
Let me tell you. You know, if I made Christine Elo police commissioner, I would make Ellen Semenoff city manager.
Oh,
honestly,
I hadn't even thought of that.
I don't know whether she'd want the job, but the thing is, there are certain individuals who work for the city of Cambridge.
Yeah,
in
she would
capacities.
Be good. I didn't think of that.
They are so head and shoulders above so many. You know, I
That's
mean, just really commendable people who have such a grasp
You're
of
right.
things. You know, it's indescribably so.
Right. There were a couple things that happened. I'm trying to remember now. All right. What you just said about the takeaway. I did like what Dennis Carlona said. He said this before where, because he was involved with his wife in a program where you followed, like kids that are followed from the time they're young to graduating high school and beyond. It really does make a difference to have somebody that tracks you, that cares about you. And I know there's probably teachers that do that, but it would be nice if there was something more,
I think
institutionalized about that. Yeah.
I think it's exactly what a lot of the best teachers and administrators do already.
I know.
I think it's something that many families would certainly take advantage of by basically encouraging their kid to.
But also some other takeaways where there's not enough mental health. Practitioners availability, and that is true.
But that led to a rather interesting exchange, which again Ellen Semenoff explained quite well.
That's also not her department either. She
made quite clear about that. Exactly. But what she made really clear was that you know you can say let's let's get every kid into a program. Though I always think back to myself and say, well, but when I was a problematic adolescent,
you didn't want to be going to a program.
Yeah. I don't go into I don't do programs. You know, I don't go to the government for my recreation either.
Well,
you know,
he wasn't talking program. He's talking about therapy or just getting evaluation.
Right.
You know, but not have a wait list of 3 months.
Right. But people often mistakenly feel that because we may have financial resources, that necessarily translates into
that you can do
programs, staffing.
I agree with you. You're totally right.
Things to do. You know, it's not like you just gather every kid up in a room and say, hey, let's do a program, everybody.
I know.
They need to be structured. It's
salaries. It's everything. But more could be done there. And the last thing I'll say about this meeting, a comment that really surprised me that Alana made about a kid that had been in the carpentry or whatever it is at the high school, came out and she met him and said, well, what are you doing? What are you looking at? Well, I'm working at a store now and I think I'm going to do this. She said, well, why don't you contact the Carpenters Union? They have said, what's a union? And now, I don't know, maybe that's just one example, but she's thinking, why aren't we teaching these kids this in the high school? If they're going into these trades, they should know this stuff. So
they
I don't
know
that.
Stuff. I say that's one of
really
the
good point. Yeah.
One of the things that was lost when Anthony Galluccio went on to higher office and then into the private sector and things is that Anthony, when he was a city councilor, was he was incredible in terms of his interest in getting kids involved in apprenticeships.
Oh, yeah.
From a work point of view
it pays
and
so
youth
well.
Sports from a recreational
point
of view.
Emphasis on college. I mean, yes, you can get education and also learn electrical work, plumbing, you know, HVAC work. These are welding. These are good paying jobs.
That's right.
You know?
That's really right. You know, so
I think
we have
a little more, but not enough. Maybe.
Yeah, I think it's something we got to work on. And it's not rocket science. It's carpentry and woodwork
and not everybody wants to work in a lab or, you know, they all say, oh, these jobs at Kendall, why aren't they doing with our youth? But maybe we need to look at some other kinds of jobs that they should be doing.
Absolutely true. You know, we often lapse into sort of wishful thinking. We say because we have, you know, all major life sciences computer things in Kendall Square area and all around Cambridge, really, that therefore there's, why don't we just give them jobs? And it's like, first off, if I'm running a major company like that, I'm not necessarily primarily interested in the outreach just to hire neighborhood kids.
Yeah.
Maybe I can be, maybe I should be, but I also want to make sure everybody comes in with appropriate qualifications.
That's interesting you say that, because there was some criticism from one of them about the mayor's youth program. Why can't we hire more people? And I'm thinking, well, the mayor's youth program only works when they have the other partner. They have to have someone else to say, okay, we'll take on this kid, even if they're paying for it. They'll still, so that could be part of the issue too. And also I think Ellen Seminoff pointed out that they actually did fill every kid that applied did get a job. So she really was good.
Mayor's Summer Youth Program is by its very nature more of an introduction service.
I understand that, but you still have to have partners to
and if you develop a good strong interest in something that you were doing as part of that, and you develop some relationships, then there will probably be some opportunities that can grow from it. And the people in human services program, Department of Human Services programs, actually, you know, they're on the job. They're really trying to make those connections.
She said a lot of things I didn't know about. So that was good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, you know, that, I think that's sort of all good, but it's, you know, I think the police will tell you, and a lot of other people will tell you, is that there's a big difference between planning for the future and prevention. I think Christina Elo was very clear about this.
Yes.
There's a big distinction between, also Ellen Seminoff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to keep separate, you know, the long-term preventative strategies versus dealing with a situation that you're in right now.
Right.
You know, and, you know, so I'm kind of happy that we've got some of the people that we do have within the Cambridge Police Department who are addressing the situation as it is right now.
And she pointed out things, and I think Denise did too, that have gone on that people just don't know about. The counselors aren't aware of it because it just didn't come up to them, but things that have really been successful in interventions and stuff. And also that Christine Elo said they're actively involved with My Brother's Keeper. So they're on top of things, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And the more sort of partnering up with, you know, some of the players who are working on the ground, like my brother's keeper and others. I think the better, you know, this is not a political solution. No. Ultimately, this is human beings dealing with human beings.
And they have an active partnership with Somerville, not partnership, but they work with Somerville with these incidents.
Well, I think in part because of the reality of this current situation and what the root causes are, which have something to do with some settling of scores and things between people. Across the border and whatever.
The Cambridge, you know, male that Robert Favreau, whatever, who was Cambridge kid, but he was killed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many of these incidents are all interconnected.
I know, but they're looking at it. They do look at it.
They're definitely looking at it. And I have some of this, you simply have to trust the people who know more than we do to sort of do the job. By the way, I would just want to say, I mentioned it earlier, just, yeah, I went to. I'll just sort of.
There we go. Oh, you got one.
Yeah, just it was. It was actually left over from the event.
You know, and it fits you perfectly,
Robert. Sort of. To whatever degree, anything fits me perfectly anymore. But it was actually pretty great. Yeah. There was a lot of kids playing basketball.
It was so hot that day.
A lot of young women playing basketball. Actually, that's when I was there, bunches of kids.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the city people out there with sort of tabling, providing information on all sorts of things, including Kathy Watkins from Public Works there's a stormwater project that's coming to the Port neighborhood, and they were there. And they were being helped by some of these sort of community outreach people from the neighborhood.
Okay.
Actually, to sort of get it out there. It was really kind of, I like it when we get to witness some of these really nice partnerships between city staff people and community people. Okay. It's really, kind of heartwarming. So.
All right. We have like less than half a minute in this segment.
So we'll talk a little bit about the political stuff maybe in the next half
hour. Yeah. Oh, about like who's running and who's, okay. And then what else? Maybe anything coming up? There's some forums that now have places, actually.
Yeah, that's right, actually. And thankfully, some of the organizations are working with me to help doing the calendar to make sure that they're not stepping on each other's
toes. All right. So we will see you in about another few minutes.
All right. See you then.